coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is the 12th day of March. It's Friday. 12th day of March, 2021. Eric the Tech, it's Friday. We made it through another week.
We did.
Oh, my goodness. And you folks did as well, and I'm glad. It's day number 52 of the global elite. Day 52 of really America held hostage by the global elite. Satanic overlords wannabes. Overlord wannabes, I suppose, is the correct way of saying it, attempting to shut us down. Did you happen to, Eric the Tech, did you happen to catch Resident Marbles yesterday, Mr. Potato Head, last night?
No, I just watched it this morning.
Oh. What'd you think? I want to know what funeral home does his makeup, number one. he's decomposing in front of our eyes, and I want to know, do you think, and Eric the Tech, I need your input on this. Do you think that those who voted for Marbles out there, okay, you got a rattler and, do you think that, I will say what I'm going to say, but not right now. I'll give you a warning to get the children out of the room because it's really a funny statement. But, do you think that the people who voted for Biden, who watched that, aside from the Hollywood intellectually bankrupt, you know, morons like Rob Reiner, in my view, he's a moron. Okay. In my personal opinion, do you think that there's any buyer's remorse over electing him? I mean,
personally, no.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, how can you look at that? And I'm telling you what, all right?
That's what they like.
This
they like
guy
to be coddled and you're going to be safe and we're going to take care of this and boredom and.
But where the hell has he been? I mean,
I'm not a public speaker,
and I've
blown him out of the water reading the speech.
Man, I'll tell you something. Oh, yeah,
it's such night and day between him and President Trump.
What a difference, indeed. Yeah, okay, so he lasted 24 minutes, which I had my money on 15. I had the 15-minute mark pegged with my wife. We had a bet going. He lasted 24 minutes, and I tell you what, an agonizing 24 minutes. And I deliberately watched that replay. So I DVR'd it. Okay, I watched it, and I DVR'd the MSNBC version of this, okay, because I wanted to see what they were saying. And the my wife DVR'd the Fox version. Not that really it makes that much of a difference. I get that, but wow, it made a difference. The fawning over, oh, we have a president who, you know, with compassion, who cares. You gotta be kidding. This was an entire, COVID speech, you know, the, 10th anniversary. Now, he would never dare, of course, folks, you know this, he would never dare go before a press, with open questions like President Trump did and just wing it, you know, take it from the, take it really from the hip. And you know something too. The media has said, well, you know, once in a while when Biden speaks, inadvertently he'll make a mistake and misquote a fact or figure. Okay, when President Trump did it, that deserved like a 5,000-word front page article on every flipping newspaper in the country.
So if he accidentally says we're going to war with China,
yeah,
live on TV, that's not going to create an issue?
I'm telling you, no, probably not. They will probably figure out a way to figure a workaround, you know. And I
he's just old. Just give him a break.
You know, he's decomposing. I looked at him.
Decomposing.
I'm telling you, man.
His finger fell off.
Okay, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
It's like when you're a kid, when you're a kid, and your RC car's batteries are running low, but you still just push it and push it and push it till it stops. Instead of putting new batteries in.
Exactly. So, when I was a kid, we played with, you know, stone wheels, okay? That's when toys were made out of steel made in America, okay? You know, Marx toys and stuff, all right? That's my generation, not this Chinese crap that's coming in. All right.
You running up a hill.
Oh, man. I can barely walk up a hill. Okay. No, I shouldn't say that. But you know, the fragility, the frailty of Biden yesterday, you could, when he turned and walked away, and I kind of half expected him to jog to the podium. I really did. You know, I did. I thought, yeah, he's going to.
And you know what? Forget the physical. It's the mental.
Well, yes. Yeah.
That's the issue.
That's the issue indeed. And, I really look at this as, it as elder abuse. And I know that people tune into this show not for entertainment because it's not, but although, you know, sometimes what I say is entertaining, inadvertently entertaining. Yeah, it's wow. Just wow. That's all I can say. So, the various memes going around. The clips from the speech and then the response. There's really one, and I'll play this now, and then I've got some really important stuff to get into, and then in the second hour we'll revisit this. But so here is, hopefully, now I'm not sure because I gave this like at the last moment to Eric the Tech, and plus it's these things are kind of jukey, and I don't like to use Twitter as I hate to use Twitter. I hate to use, folks, get off of Twitter, get off of Facebook. I'm telling you, you've got to do that. I haven't, posted anything. I'll never post anything. I'm not going to give them clicks. You know, I stopped whenever I stopped. I can't remember. It's documented on the, but in Facebook too. Facebook can, suck an egg. Okay. Zuckerberg and Chan, they can just, bugger off because, of course, something again I'll be getting into explaining because this is all part of a larger scheme. This is a global reset. This is the takedown of the United States of America. Steve Quayle and I talked about this yesterday. So what we're seeing, though, is this pandemic in quotation marks. Now, by definition, is this a pandemic? Oh, yeah, barely, okay, barely, I suppose, by definition. And you'd have to look into the definition of pandemic and such.
Assuming our death rate hasn't moved?
Well,
no.
Okay, but is a pandemic based on mortality, okay, by definition? So
yes, in my book,
in
yes.
In your book, okay. And most people would agree with you. Okay. So the first part is, the whole 24 minutes was devoted to, you know, Biden's regime taking credit for this vaccine, which is not, folks, please listen to me. It's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. Even some of the mainstream media people are getting it. Steve Bannon this morning.
Paging Hannity, listen.
It's experimental gene therapy. It is not a vaccine. Would you get, please understand that. And I know that our core listeners and viewers understand what this isn't. It is experimental gene therapy. It is causing, let me be very judicious about how I say this. It appears to be causing death. Among other side effects. I mean, you know, I love it when you get a medication, possible side effects. You ever hear those commercials? You know, the side effects include itchy skin, anal leakage, and death.
But the CDC.
Yeah, CDC.
Safe.
Yeah. You're my man today, I'm telling you. I really, you know, I got to tell you, Eric the Tech is like the most, the talk about an unsung hero. He's the guy.
I'm busy. Leave me alone.
Hours before I come, you know, before even I come in, he's over there and he's, I mean, his head, all I see is like the top of his head. And he always wears a cap, so I see like the top of his cap and the visor. And he's down in the working. Anyway, let's play this from last night. And again, we're going to revisit this. I just want to hit on this and then move on.
Grab your pillow.
Yeah. Go ahead and play the first clip.
I need every American to do their part. And that's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout and a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together. After this long, hard year, that will make this Independence Day something truly special, where we not only mark our independence as a nation, but we begin to mark our independence from this virus. But to get there, we can't let our guard down. This fight is far from over, as I told the woman in Pennsylvania. I'll tell you the truth. A July 4th with your loved ones is the goal. But a goal, a lot can happen.
It's okay, Doug. Don't cry.
It was just so moving. I'm verklempt. Just so moving. How dare you, Mr. Marbles, tell us who we can spend and what we can do on, not July 4th, repeat after me, Independence Day. I don't.
He's not telling us that. His writers are telling us.
That's right. That's right. So here's Tucker Carlson's. Now, people don't always agree with Tucker Carlson. And I think if Tucker spent more time on exposing what happened on November 3rd and the people behind it, I think we'd be a lot better off. But okay, let's go with this because this is topical. But here's his response to that, to which I agree. Go ahead and play the second one if you have it ready.
No sense at all of how any of this happened or who backed it, but they're the president showing great empathy. His plan consisting essentially of vaccines and more vaccines. By May, he said, there'll be enough vaccines for every person in America. The military will give you that shot. And if you take that shot, things potentially could get back to normal. No mention at all of the people who might not want to take that shot. But the president said, if you take that shot and wear your mask and listen to Dr. Fauci, it is possible, not assured, but possible, that you might be able to gather in small groups with the ones you love for the 4th of July. We might have to rescind that right, but it's possible if you're obedient, you'll get it. Who are you talking to? This is a free people. This is a free country. How dare you tell us who we can spend the 4th of July with? Alex Berenson is a best-selling.
There you go. There you go. And who are you talking to? Certainly not we the people. And that's important to note, in my view anyway. That's extremely important to note.
Message to the states, open up.
And more states are doing that, which is, I think it's fabulous that mask mandates are being dropped. The borders are open, schools are closed. What the hell's going on here? You can't have this. And speaking of borders being open, all right, you get the whole concept, I think, behind the, you know what, before we move on from this, because I don't know if we'll touch on this the next hour. I want to make sure I sent this to you. Yes, I did. Speaking of this push to vaccinate, and why this big push, you know, to return to a normal that's not going to be there. There is no normal anymore, but why this big push? It's about money. And it's about power, but there's something even more sinister behind the push than that. There's something more sinister, at least in my view. Okay. So for the legal eagles out there, it's in my view, there's something much more sinister going on with this push for this vaccine. And, you know, he made this big deal about, the competitors working together to push this. Okay. When in the history of Big Pharma have you seen that? Just asking. All right. Let me just make sure that I sent this to you here. Okay. I did. It's a link to the, children. What the heck is that? It's the children's. I'll post the link in the Children's Health Defense page. Okay. Wow. Check this out. Okay. Now, you know, we talked about Event 201. We've been talking about Event 201. We've also said too, I think I've also said in the past that, especially about a year ago, that you're not going to recognize the United States in a few months. This is about a year ago. And look where we are now. So this is, it is based on everything that I've been able to come up with, obviously. This whole idea behind, the lockdowns, the, really everything taking place. And I just want to, again, I want to set this up properly here. So if I'm stammering and stuttering, well, that's just the way it is, but because I want to be really careful. All right. Let's take a look at this. This really is from, Event 201. It's a transcript and it's highlighted again by the, aforementioned website. What this document is, and you can read this, the first individual says, we've called this meeting today because of major strategic problems around communication that are happening globally. And here's an immediate debate that just happened on air today. And they went through this. Okay. Alarming news emerging from social media companies about the CAPS pandemic. Twitter and Facebook are reporting. They've identified and deleted a disturbing number of accounts dedicated to spreading this information about the outbreak. For more on this, we go to our correspondent, Catalina Parks, okay? And Parks says, Chen, these accounts were created by several state-sponsored groups intending to sow political discord, and some individuals are seemingly seeking to gain financial advantages. Now, you talk about projection. All right, but I digress. Violence against healthcare workers and minority populations has been increasing. A recent riot highlights the real danger in these posts. Now, notice how they are zeroing in on the social media posts, saying, hey, these posts are really sowing discord and they're causing violence. A recent riot highlights the real danger in these posts. Wait a minute. The only riots I know about are at the hands of what? Of Antifa? The Pacific, really the Pacific Northwest. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and Marxist organizations like that. And their handlers. Okay, so countries are reacting in different ways to how to best manage this overwhelming amounts of dis and misinformation. Now, these are social media companies specifically mentioned, Twitter and Facebook. All right. So this dialogue, as you go through this, again, this is from Event 201. And this was pre-pandemic, don't forget. Kevin McAleese says, well, to me, it's clear countries need to make strong efforts to manage both mis and disinformation. Countries. Okay. Countries need to make strong efforts. We know social media companies are working around the clock to combat these disinformation or disinflation, according to the transcript, campaigns. So, all right. as you go through this, and I'll put a link in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. As you go through this, you can read about the testing, the test run in Event 201, about how they were going to handle Twitter, Facebook, social media platforms, their dis and misinformation related to the pandemic, related to vaccines, treatment, lockdowns, and so on. They had this all covered, and you know about this. You knew about this, but this really highlights, and you can show this to your friends and neighbors and doubting people who doubt you, that this was planned out in advance, and this is all part of the great reset. So when you, again, I always talk about being a big picture kind of guy. That's the way I look at it, because in today's world, all right, you can't really look at every morsel of information. I suppose you could if you didn't have to work for a living. Even then, I suppose you'd need a team of people. But when you look at this from a higher altitude, you can see that this has been all planned out. This is part of a great reset, that the voter fraud in November 3rd and before, on November 3rd and after November 3rd, was all planned out. It was being, and currently still is being managed by globalists. And again, I call them globalist elite satanic overlords or overlord wannabes. So this is where we're at with this. And Donald Trump had to go. He had to go because he wasn't really a part of this globalist thing. And of course, the lady, the studio dog is, she gets excited when I don't know if you heard the bark, but she's in my office, which, Eric the Tech really did a nice job taking care of repairing and stuff. But anyway, this is all part of the plan of subjugation, global subjugation. Understand, this is not just the United States. This is a global lockdown. Now, all right, so that's one element. You've got to subjugate the population by this pandemic. You've got to force them into compliance with mask wearing, and that takes away the individuality. It depersonalizes you, the mask wearer. It also acts as a virtue signaling act. Of course, when you wear a mask, you're really not doing anything for you or the other person. Scientifically, if you want to base stuff on science, it's not there. You know this. You've heard this before. So all of this. Now, this also leads into other areas. You're talking about the borders being open. We're going to get to that in a second. But there's even something much bigger at play here. And this is going to come swiftly, and I mean absolutely swiftly. But so, folks, again, to that document from Event 201, certainly read that. But again, understand that this is something much bigger. All right. Now, if you've been watching the videos of the and I should say this too about last night. Last time I checked, there was like 7,000 live views or viewed. Yeah, I think it was live views. 7,141 live views on YouTube of the Biden 24-minute whatever that was, Mr. Marbles' discussion. Okay. 7,141. Now, how does that compare to the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, millions, or depending on which machine, perhaps trillions of people who voted for Biden? How does that compare? We, on average, have a bigger audience than the President of the United States. And most of the channels out there do as well. So what's wrong with this picture? So anyway, I want to mention that too, but again, this is all part of a bigger picture. So I mentioned, we have a crisis at the border, and then we have a fast moving agenda taking place. And to me, all of this goes hand in hand with everything else taking place here in the House and the Senate. Now, what I'm going to be getting to with respect to the House and Senate, H.R. 1446, H.R. 8, and then the Feinstein bill in the Senate side. And that's to take away, ultimately, the confiscation of our handguns. Okay, so hold that thought, because this is all part of it. But before I get to that, I want to show you a video clip of what's going on our southern border. And you've seen Jen Psaki, the P is silent, as is the president, the P in president with Biden. You've seen Psaki attempt to save the narrative, or at least push the narrative, save Jacobson's, DHS person, to save her narrative and then to push her own narrative about things happening at the border. You know, the people are coming because there's renewed hope in the United States. No. This is all a calculation. So I want to show you this video of what's currently taking place at the border. And then we're going to have a discussion about that and how this relates to the gun confiscation. Yes, it doesn't say gun confiscation. These are sensible gun control laws. But how this relates to gun confiscation, because it will be confiscation. Ultimately, that's their objective. Maybe not written in the bills as such. So you can say, well, this is fake news. No, it's not fake news. The intent here is confiscation. So let me go ahead and play the border clip, because again, this all relates to everything that we're talking about. I want you to see what's really going on currently at the southern border. Go ahead.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you know, thanks, Eric the Tech. You said this is not good for radio people. Let me just narrate what's going on. These are smugglers crossing the Rio Grande here, all right? This is what you're looking at. Smugglers taking people across the Rio Grande. Now, this is in addition to the people that you see, the 25 people jammed into a Ford Explorer.
Buenas tardes, buenas tardes.
Now, if I was a guy with a camera, all right, I'm just saying, look, I get this. If I was that guy with a camera, I'd be pushing that raft right back into the water. Sorry, you're not coming here. Or at least punching a hole in the raft. I would be doing something, but do not, no. Get off my lawn.
You ever hook those guys up?
Yeah.
There they come. Now, notice, too, the narrative about people starving in their home countries. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not shaming anybody. Okay? They're starving. Looks like the line at Walmart.
Right.
Okay, so you're getting the idea, right? And, of course, as much as the Biden regime, the Biden White House wants to say, well, you know, renewed hope, humanity, this is not what it's all about. Not in the least. And, again, I'm a big fan of Sundance and Conservative Treehouse. And he posted this, I believe. He posted this video. Let me just double check on this. Yeah, he posted this video. Let me make sure I got this right, with some interesting commentary. All right, stand by here a second here. There we go. All right, so he posted this video earlier. I guess it was yesterday. Hundreds of illegal migrants line up as smugglers help them cross the Rio Grande. All right. I'm glad I looked again. Massive lines of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. These are people unlawful to be here. Can be seen in the video that you just watched. awaiting smugglers to help them cross the Rio Grande River in the United States. Now, you saw it wasn't really that big of a path, okay, from one side to the other. Now, the Federalist has a great article about this. The video was shot by a law enforcement official whose agency and identity are hidden to protect from repercussions. But there are people, there's a couple of points to this story. The narrative that the American people are being fed about, well, you know, these people are starving in their country, they're oppressed, they're, you know, they're mostly peaceful, whatever. It's just BS. You can see it. But there, the second part of the story too, there are people in Border Patrol, in ICE, other agencies. I know that we say that, you know, some of these agencies are just nothing but enablers. But there's some who are sick and tired of this, okay? So, when you've got signs, in that article, which I thought was very interesting, and I've seen these signs when I was in the desert southwest a long time ago. Travel caution, smuggling and illegal immigration may be encountered in this area. When you've got to have signs on the American side, imagine this, because most people who listen to this program reside in the heartland or in areas where this is not an issue. Okay. So just imagine, you're driving to your house, you know, turning into your neighborhood, we'll say. But before you turn in your neighborhood, you see a sign that says travel caution, smuggling and illegal immigration may be encountered in this area. Meaning, hey, you might encounter some bad people smuggling human beings. Or imagine, hey, gang activity in this area, MS-13 activity. Okay, think about this. Think about what we're doing. Not in my neighborhood, right? All right. But at any rate, this is taking place. You've got smugglers who are bringing in people. Like I said, 25. There was one, and I'm not sure how many people saw that. One Ford Explorer, 27, I believe it was, 25 in the back and 2 in the front. They had gutted everything outside, everything behind the seats, and piled these bodies in there, live people. So stacked them like cordwood inside the back of a Ford Explorer. 25 human beings. Okay, that's what they think of human life, as a side note. So there's a lot of the facets to what I'm saying here. Strobe Talbot, I want to quote here, who was Clinton's deputy secretary of state, gave an interview to Time magazine in July of 1992, and he said this: in the next century, that's now, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. That's Strobe Talbot. Of course, I disagree heavily in terms of national sovereignty, but there you have it. Okay. So that's just one example of thousands upon thousands of examples we can use about the southern border. All right. Now, here is really the bigger, well, that's a big problem, but here is an equally big problem. But this is going to, what's going on the southern border is not going to impact necessarily right now, tomorrow, next week, or next month, somebody living in Pennsylvania or Kansas or whatever. It will, but the larger legal threat, or the larger threat by our government, in my view, is this confiscatory, ultimately the agenda to confiscate everyone's firearms. We have two bills in the House that were passed. One with the eight Republicans signing on to this, expanding these background checks. You've got H.R. 1446 and H.R. 8. And then you've got gun confiscation, and I'm going to use that word deliberately, confiscation, introduced in the Senate. We have to start thinking about confiscation, because that's the ultimate goal here, is confiscation. It's not registration. It's not expanding background checks. There's nothing sensible about this. It's confiscation. and making you and I felons if you own a weapon with a magazine that's capable of carrying more than 10 rounds, for example, or if you have one of those big black bad-looking rifles, you know, my goodness, assault weapon ban, I should say, then, of course, you're being targeted. Okay, so let me hang on a second here. Let me get to that because this is extremely important. There is a website, fightgunbills.com, which redirects to Firearms Policy Coalition. There it is on your screen. This gets into H.R. 1446, H.R. 8, and the untitled Senate bill, all right? And the position, of course, is strongly opposed. Now, ordinarily, like I said, I don't like to read on air. But the summary of this, now these bills are all designed, and you can see this in the article, they're all designed to implement a nationwide registry of your firearms, setting the stage for gun confiscation. And those people in business who do inventory, or if you're a stamp collector, coin collector, you do inventory, right? You do inventory. Well, this is like an inventory of everyone who owns firearms, what they own, and they're setting the stage for confiscation. The article continues, the floodgates have opened on gun registry legislation. With three bills introduced in one day. Now think about that. And you absolutely keep that up there. I'm glad you just keep that up there on the screen. Three bills introduced in one day designed to force universal background checks on gun transfers. And one of these anti-gun bills, H.R. 8, has already has support from Republicans. Now, people are saying, well, you know, it's going to take a majority to pass in the Senate. And just go ahead and keep that up there because people need, if you're watching this, read the text from this. If you're just listening to this on Global Star Radio, just listen, okay? But then check back on Rumble and check out or just go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link. But right now, as I see things, if I was going to hit that red alarm button, there are so many things taking place right now, but this is, to me, the more immediate threat. I would be hitting this alarm button and punching it and punching it and punching it because right now this is absolutely in my view, the most critical threat we have, all right, to our nation. This is for all the marbles. Speaking of marbles, this is for all the marbles. This is to disarm the populace. The House is determined, look, folks, to advance gun control legislation as an action priority for the left. As I said, 8 Republicans signed on to this expansion of background checks, ultimately for confiscation. Here are their names. Vern Buchanan from Florida, 16th District. Mario Diaz Ballart from Florida. Brian Fitzpatrick from this Keystone State, my state, in Pennsylvania. Oh, Brian Fitzpatrick and actually the 7 others we'll be hearing from this office. Will Hurd from Texas. Peter King. Yeah, that Peter King from New York. Brian Mast from Florida. What's up with Florida? What's wrong with them? Chris Smith from New Jersey and Fred Upton from Michigan. These are the rhinos, the non-freedom-loving people that signed on to H.R. 8 passing, again, as I mentioned before, 227 to 203. And the objective here, well, we're going to close the loopholes to ensure that background checks are extended to private and online sales that often go undetected. No, read the bill. Specifically, now, what it does do when you read the bill, it prohibits a firearm transfer between private parties unless you draw in a licensed gun dealer, manufacturer. You've got to get somebody that's licensed to allow this or to superintend the transfer. But they've got to first take possession of the firearm to conduct a background check. Now, this does not. This bill does not apply to gifts, all right? So, or to passing down in estates. This bill doesn't. Now, let me just say this. An unarmed man is a citizen. Or, I'm sorry, an armed man is a citizen. An armed man is a citizen. An unarmed man is a fool. A disarmed man is dead. A disarmed man is a subject to the tyranny that's about to be imposed on our country. There will be at least, I would hope, 50 plus, maybe 80, 100 million Americans, gun owners, who say no with a very loud voice, who will not be silenced or who will not be subjugated by any police agency, by the federal police agencies, by the government. And you want to make me a felon? Make me a felon. Go eat dirt, you know? But that's, we have to, look, we have to understand right now where we're at with things, and that this is a huge part of the globalist agenda is to take guns, our weapons, away from us. The key thing here, you've got one thing, you got one gun assault weapons ban going on in the Senate, two in the House, and all introduced on the same day, going at breakneck speed. I'm going to tell you right now, there will be gun confiscation before the year's out by the government. First, you know, universal background checks. You need a registry for that to work. Now you're going to have a ban as well built into the other bills on certain weapons. The next step is logically confiscation. I'm going to tell you right now, if the federal government decides to do that, I would advise them to send police who don't have families. Just saying. To ban guns, weapons, because criminals use them, is to tell the law-abiding among us that their rights and liberties depend not on their own conduct, but the conduct of the guilty and the lawless. Simple as that. Okay, so you're going to have to really watch that very carefully, all right, because this is part and parcel to the Great Reset, and they need to disarm us. They need to disarm us right now. Did I send you another, Eric the Tech, did I send you another link, or is that, no, I think that was it. All right. We have in the second hour coming up, Austin Brower, by the way, I just want to mention that. Hang on a second here. Talk amongst yourselves. I just want to pull this up as well. This is something else I saw that it just blew my mind when I saw this. You'd think I'd have this written down by now, wouldn't you? All right. It was actually a good segue, but nay. But at any rate, I just want to stay on the topic of the gun confiscation, because what have we seen? We've seen the left emboldened by the majorities that they achieved in the House and in the Senate. Look, I know things. I know the House, not necessarily, but the Senate for sure. This is all dependent, or that what we're seeing now is dependent upon what happened on November 3rd, right? So they've got the Senate, and people who say, well, you know what? I don't think this is going to pass the Senate. I wouldn't be too sure when you start looking at the uniparty aspect of things. Here's where I was going. Stand by. Okay. Part and parcel to the Great Reset, and part and parcel to this. Eric's worried about me. I can hear him whispering in my ear. You okay? You okay? You Mr. Marbles yourself, Joe Biden? You know. Come on, man. You know, I'm plugged in, right?
You know the thing. Come on, man.
anytime that I need to.
You almost sounds too good there.
But can you tell the difference? And this side note, but can you tell the difference between Joe Biden from a year ago to Joe Biden of today? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Just listen to that.
Play that again, the longer one, if you got it.
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Now,
that's not the same dude that just gave that
right
address.
No, I know. The strength in the voice, you know, you're right. It's not.
It's not fun anymore.
Which brings what I was going to say, you know, get the kids out of the house. You realize that Joe Biden's, did you hear about this? Joe Biden's German Shepherd bit a Secret Service agent. So they had to move the dogs out of the White House. Did you know that? Back to Delaware. Did you know that, Eric the Tech?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I did. So you've got, no, I'm not going to say it. There's a really funny meme that goes with that. It involves a biter. No, never mind. All right. So at any rate, I'm getting to it. I want to mention this as well. The trial of Derek Chauvin. I just touch on this because this goes back to being able to defend ourselves. This also goes back to the agenda of the Marxists, of the globalists, the Maoists, and what have you. There is a autonomous zone being set up in Minnesota now. All right, because the Minnesota judge reinstates third-degree murder charge against Officer Chauvin, as activists set up this autonomous zone around this George Floyd memorial. Again, folks, George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose and a toxic drug mixture overdose. It was not from a knee on the neck.
You mean the officers weren't following the manual?
To quote John Moore, what do you mean? They were following the manual. But, you know, it's just unfortunate that George Floyd chose to, shall we say, take the evidence as opposed to being caught with the evidence. All right. But I wanted to mention that, too, because this is setting up. What's this? What are we being set up for? We're being set up to the delight, by the way, of the globalists like Soros, in my view, and others, and especially the others within our leadership, and I use that word loosely, like the Pelosi's and the Schumer's, and then you go to the states and the various state governors. What's that?
1 minute.
We are being set up for a summer, for a spring and summer of absolute chaos. And again, to really drive this home, to make sure people understand this, in addition to pushing against the lockdowns, in addition to this scandemic stuff, and then being ostracized for not taking the gene therapy, experimental gene therapy, we are going to be disarmed as well. This is all coming together according to plan. We have probably 90 days. 90 days to 120 days in terms of being able to get what we need and having what we need to protect ourselves and our families. Hour number two coming right next. Yeah, I got this. Come on, man. Corn pop. Bad dude. You know the thing. All right. Gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is Hagman Report, hour number two, day 52 of America held hostage by the Marxist, Maoist, globalist, elite scumbags. Yes, I am angry as well as, you should be angry as well. Angry enough to step away from the keyboard and fight back and practice civil disobedience any chance we get because, frankly, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. You know all the sayings, right? So all the adages and all of the advice that our forefathers gave us. Here with me, hour number two, is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. I'll bet you he's going to have a lot to say about what was said last night. I don't know for sure. We haven't talked before this hour, but I'll bet you he's going to have a lot to say. About the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, it's experimental gene therapy, and about how everyone says it's a vaccine, but it's really not, and about the 39-year-old woman dying, and of course we don't know why, it just happened, she got her second shot, and she just died, and oh boy, that's just terrible, and coincidences happen, and you know, there's a 500,000 people plus dead, and it's all Donald Trump's fault, and it's all our fault. If you don't wear a mask, it's our fault. And you know what? We have to seek permission from our overlords if we want to get together for Independence Day. How sick is that? So anyway, with me is, and how ironically wrong is that, right? It's just not, it's just not right. So, healthmasters.com. I'll tell you something. If you want to improve your immune system and if you want to feel better, feel good, I love these. I love these nutritional supplements because they do make me feel good. The ultimate multiple vitamin, I take four of those a day. Vitamin C, vitamin B. Oh, man. Folks, if you're watching this, check out what's on screen. You've got the special promotion with the GHI cleanse. You've got, oh, I like this, the virus protection kit. Pretty soon, compliments. Well, pretty soon, you're going to see the wording of some of these websites are going to be ruled. Well, you can't say that. It's not saying what virus, but it implies. Remember Event 201, what I talked about earlier. And remember that Mr. Marvel's 24 minutes of yuck last night, right? Food buckets, important to have food in storage. Steve talked about it yesterday. Very important. So, folks, go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Stock up while you can. And I mean this. Stock up while you can. Austin Brower, how are you?
Blessed as always, Doug. How are you doing, my friend?
As well. Blessed as well. I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, you too. I heard the first couple minutes when you were talking about. And, yeah, was that not one of the most insulting things you've ever seen last night? Basically, if you keep doing what we tell you, if you and your family get ejected, if you follow your orders like you're supposed to, good little peasant, we may be able to let you and your family gather on July 4th. You know, because we're being generous. We're generous gods over here. We're giving you permission if you listen to us. I didn't watch the whole thing. I ended up doing, you know, the clips.
Man, it's only 24 minutes.
Yeah, dude, I made about 4 minutes into it, got nauseous, had to run to the bathroom. It was like, I feel physically ill after listening to this bumbling buffoon talk. And what's crazy to me, and this is something that I've noticed, it's so strange. You see certain times when he is out in a semi-public area, like the D.C. store the other day, and he walks out there, all the reporters basically start yelling, you know, questions and all this stuff. And he stands around. He's like, he's lost. He doesn't know which way to go. He can't even figure out where to look. His handlers come over and basically, you know, kind of like whisk him away, won't let him answer any questions, keep a muzzle on him. And then all of a sudden, he does a speech with a green screen behind him yesterday, and he acts like, dude, he's perfectly fine. He's reading his teleprompter. He's all normal. And then you'll see another one the next day. He can't even figure out where to go. Do I sign this? What do I do here? What am I doing? And it's the most bizarre thing. It almost makes me think, Doug, that he has a body double or somebody that basically is running around, or they have him jacked up on so many amphetamines or drugs whenever they need to have him do it that he only functions that way. I don't know. But have you noticed that too?
Yes.
No consistency with his behavior at all.
You know, I said in the first hour, it's pretty much like watching him decompose in real time. All right.
Yeah. It's sad. It is. Yeah.
And I think it's elder abuse. I really do. I think that, you know, he's not making any decisions. He's not. And okay. So that said, the whole 24 minutes was a bizarre 24 minutes last night. And no one is telling me, and how ironic is this that American citizens are going to be told if and how many people you can celebrate Independence Day with.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Okay. Does that even make sense? Yeah. No, no one is going to tell me how I'm going to celebrate my Independence Day. And certainly not Mr. Marbles or any of his Chinese Communist Party handlers or the globalist scumbags that handle him, or Heels Up Harris, who, by the way, Heels Up Harris is getting what Biden never got as vice president. She's getting the full PDF, Presidential Daily, or PDB.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which is, wow, I guess we know what's coming. So, didn't you say and we say stuff about this, that Biden is only going to be there for a short time and then bang, then it's going to get really serious because payback is a real, you know what, so.
Yeah. No, we both brought that up last year. I remember talking about it in like November. I said, dude, this guy doesn't even know where he's at half the time. And I mean, it's an embarrassment to the American populace that, I mean, this is what they're subjecting us to. And so, I mean, it's time people start calling us out for what it is. A lot of people are starting to wake up with this type of behavior. And, you know, for him to get on television last night and start basically almost demanding that everybody get a vaccine or else you're not going to basically be able to have Independence Day. And then, like you said in the beginning of the show, the girl out in Salt Lake City, the 39-year-old, super athletic, super healthy, didn't have any health issues whatsoever, second Moderna shot, bam, drops dead within 4 days from liver and kidney failure. And I read the full story and excerpt about the situation, and it was brutal. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, she basically had an excruciating, agonizing 4 days of suffering in the hospital until her body finally shut down completely. And what made me so mad is when I read the article, they were discussing and interviewing the coroner, who was basically supposed to do the autopsy, which they haven't released yet to my knowledge. They may be coming out with it. And he said, well, it's very difficult for us to say that the vaccine caused this because it was a couple days afterwards. And generally, unless somebody drops dead immediately after getting a shot, then, you know, we really can't rule that as the vaccine's fault. I'm sitting there going, the girl's 39 years old, super healthy, doesn't go anywhere, hasn't done anything, hasn't been exposed to anything, gets the second shot and becomes deathly ill and dies. And now her parents have to deal with this. And nobody wants to talk about this in mainstream media. Nobody wants to talk about the tens of thousands of adverse events now that have been reported all across the country from just that shot alone. They're just demanding you take the shot or you don't get to do anything. You comply and follow orders, or you don't get to do anything. There's an article that just came out from the Mint Press News. It was interesting. It was reports now that IBM is partnering with COVID-19 manufacturer Moderna to track vaccine administration in real time through its blockchain artificial intelligence cloud services. This is bizarre. The Elixir Pass, they say, the Elixir Pass will play a critical role in getting information to venues and sites in a secure and streamlined way, paving the way to fast track the reopening of these businesses and getting us one step closer to normal. And then it goes on to further say here, using what has already been in cliched industry buzzwords like transparency, trust, and privacy, IBM's Digital Health Pass marketing literature describes the mass tracking app as a smart way to return society that allows people to return to activities and things they love. You know, I'm about sick and tired, Doug. I don't know about you, but I'm about sick and tired of people telling me, oh, yeah, by the way, you can do this. We'll let you do this. We'll let you get back to normal. I've been normal the entire time. I haven't missed a day of work. I haven't stopped doing my daily usual routine. I finished my house last year, raised my kids, take them to the park. You know, and I know some states have been insanely draconian and people haven't necessarily been able to do exactly what they like. But my question to the listeners and to the American populace in general is, how long are we going to put up with this charade? This is what it is. It's a charade. It's designed to normalize this lockdown. And something, I got an article this morning from RT and also a couple other news sites, alternative news sites posted it. And, you know, last summer, I was slamming these lockdowns. Once we kind of saw what was going on, I said, dude, this doesn't make sense. This isn't making sense. Why are they pushing these lockdowns so hard? There's never been any evidence at all to support these statements that they're coming out with, demanding that this is facts. It's facts. You lock everything down and everybody stays healthy. It's facts. Even though all the states that locked down did the worst. And there were certain comments from individuals that were in high places of power. And they made comments like, climate change, and they were bringing this topic up, and you remember hearing it. And last summer I said, is this not oddly strange that we're hearing comments about climate change with these lockdowns and kind of coinciding? Well, an article from The Guardian got posted basically a couple days ago, and what was interesting about it is they got so much flack, they went back and they changed the title of the article. And RT and a few other ones had actually screenshotted the original article because it was so disturbing. The Guardian got so much flack, they changed the whole title. The title, original title was, Global Lockdown Every 2 Years Needed to Meet Paris CO2 Goals, Says Study. I'm going to repeat that again. Global lockdown every 2 years is needed to meet the Paris CO2 Goals, Says Study. They go on to say here, if the carbon dioxide emissions don't drop by the equivalent of a worldwide lockdown roughly every 2 years for the next decade, the Earth will heat to apocalyptic levels. A team of researchers at the University of East Anglia warned in a Nature article published last Wednesday. Then they went ahead They got so much flack, they changed the title to Equivalent of COVID Emissions Drop Needed Every 2 Years. It doesn't even make sense what they said on that. And so I went through this article, and pretty much the title says exactly what it is, that they're demanding that we start having repetitive global lockdowns every other year to decrease the CO2 emission to make the Earth a safer place, or else basically we're going to end up being a barren wasteland of fire and ravaging, and there's nothing left. It's going to be like, you know, Death Valley all across the entire globe, which is complete and total lies and garbage. There's no evidence at all to support that at all. I've researched climate change for years. The Earth always changes, and it has always changed. You can look back through all the research they've done for thousands of years. It's constantly moving. We have tectonic plates, for goodness sakes. The whole Earth's constantly shifting and changing. We're spinning all the time. Give me a break. So you're saying now the entire global economy has to stop into a full-blown lockdown every other year. And if we don't do it, it's going to be apocalyptic as far as the heat temperatures. This is where we're starting to see the entire goal of what happened is starting to facilitate this in the United Nations 2030 agenda. It's not ironic or even coincidental at all. They said for the next 10 years, when we know what the United Nations has planned by 2030, they have the playbook on their website. You can look at what they want to do. This is exactly what they wanted to see. If they could do an attempt to lock down the entire planet and shut down the world economic engine, and they did. And the sad part was a lot of people wanted it. They begged for it. They demanded it. And now we're seeing the carrot on the stick is never going to go away. Biden comes out, bumbling buffoon Biden comes out and talks about how if we follow orders and we get our vaccine by Independence Day, we may be able to have time with family. I mean, that's July, guys. Wasn't it last summer they said, oh, we should be back to normal by the fall? Last summer, 2020? Now it's this summer, we're going to be back to normal?
Hey, 15 days to flatten the curve. Come on, man.
Yeah, 15 days. There you go. 15 days to flatten the curve. 15 days. Yeah. That was exactly a year ago. I can tell you right now, already, I can tell you, guarantee you, what's going to happen in June and July. They're going to come out and they're going to say, listen, the vaccination rate is not where it needs to be. Bobblehead Fauci is going to say, we haven't reached herd immunity with our gene therapy RNA technology injection yet. We haven't reached herd immunity. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go back to normal until everybody gets their shot. Guarantee you that's what's going to come out in the next couple months. They primed it last night to get everybody excited to go get their vaccine. Big propaganda blitz. And now, when the hardcore American patriots that are absolutely never going to get injected with this pill do not get the shot, they're going to say, guys, listen, it's these anti-vaxxers' faults. These are the ones that are doing it. We're not back to normal because they won't wear masks and they won't get their shot. It's them. And we're going to be so demonized in the next couple months, I don't think anybody realizes what's going to happen. That's why I've encouraged everybody, just take off your mask. If everybody's on the same playing field and we all understand what's happening, we all realize we're being lied to and played, then they can't play us off against each other. That's at least my opinion on it.
You know, the first hour, I introduced the first hour with the Biden talk, and that 24 minutes was so bizarre, but such a plea for everyone to take this experimental gene therapy. And then there were, I felt some blackmail in there too, and I felt some, but that aside, what you said there, I can't help but watch what the House and Senate are doing too by pushing H.R. 8, H.R. 1446, and then the Senate coming out with a, with the gun registration kind or gun confiscation bills. I'm just going to call them what they are. So the timing to me really is, nothing is coincidental in Washington DC and the politics. Let's game this out if you don't mind. And by the way, I'm talking with Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, please go to Healthmasters and get the sorry about that. Stop the hammering. Get the ultimate multiple at the very least.
Ultimate multiple chewable, Doug. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, please.
Ultimate chewable is product of the week. Everybody voted for it. If anybody knows, they go on our website. You can go on there, and there's a list of products every week that get voted on. I don't manipulate it, literally. It just, you go on there, you vote, and whatever wins goes on sale. The ultimate multiple chewable, we designed that years ago primarily for kids, but we found out adults like them too. It's our ultimate multiple formula, but in a really, really clean, chewable tablet that actually tastes delicious for what it is. And so for people that don't like to swallow pills or people that don't want to use the powder to drink, somebody that wants to kind of have almost like a treat, it tastes a lot like kind of like a sweet tart, a little bit sour, a little bit more sour. That's the perfect option for that. And it's on sale right now for over 10% off on the front page of the website. Definitely a great way to get the kids eating the supplements. My kids love them. I mean, I gotta hide them because they'll try to eat them like candy. And I'm like, no. You can't eat that many of these guys. These are your vitamins only. But yeah, they're on sale right now.
Thank you for that. And I appreciate that. And that's good for, I know some elderly people would prefer that as opposed to trying to take, you know, multiple handfuls of pills or supplements. So it's good. All right. And you know, I love the, I love all of your products. I'm one in particular, the EyeSight one really works. I mean, they all work, but different degrees of effectiveness, I think. And I'll just say this. My stepson and my daughter-in-law had tested positive for the coronavirus. All right. Now, my daughter-in-law, she had health problems in addition, has health problems in addition to the, what she was experiencing with the coronavirus. A medical doctor came over. I think I might have told you this, came over and gave her massive amounts of vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and vitamin DK3 and zinc. And she was within 24 hours, maybe 48 to be clear or to be safe. She was back to normal. Okay. I mean, she went from hardly able to get out of bed to back to normal. Health Masters. That's what you need to have. You need to be taking Health Masters, the immune support. I'm telling you right now. Doug, is Doug 5 still in operation?
Absolutely, Doug. I went ahead and operated. I know that I had a few people saying there were some issues last week. I couldn't figure out why. And so I went back in. I wanted to make sure that it was fully active and operational. And so I tested it this morning. And, it'll be active until the beginning of next week. And so that's good for all regular price products. You know, kits and special products are excluded on that.
All right. So, okay, but I wanted to make sure everyone really understands how important this is that we take care of ourselves because we're responsible for our own health, you know, to manage it and make sure we're okay. And I think the Health Masters is perhaps one of the most important things you can do today to protect yourself against all of the yuckies that are out there. But let me ask you what you were saying, continuing the conversation, to what extent will we be pushed? Those of us, you and I, and others like us, who will not take the RNA, the messenger RNA, the experimental gene therapy that they're calling a vaccine, to what extent will we be pushed, do you think? How bad will it get? Will it be you're going to lose your bank account or you're going to lose, you know, I mean, can we game this out to some extent?
I personally think if we don't, as a society, take a step back and say, listen, if you want to get injected with an RNA shot, that's your prerogative. You can do it. I mean, it's a free world. If you don't want to get it, that's also your right, and that's your decision. It's a free world. You don't have to get the injection. I think until we actually start bringing that discussion to light and saying the shot is not the end-all, be-all to anything. Let's take the entire death toll out of it and the negative side effects out of it and all the cases we're hearing about people going to anaphylaxis and, you know, having cardiac arrest. That, when we bring that topic up, that's just another side note. But the very concept of saying you have to be injected with this or else you can't be part of society, which is pretty much what they're starting to imply now. If we as a country don't start having this discussion and say, listen, this is my right, that's your right, we have to agree to disagree on this. What's going to happen is they're going to keep pushing us and pushing us and pushing us until so many of us stand up and are so loud and are so obnoxious, they take a step back and they go, okay, we're getting a whole lot of resistance right now. This is not going to work out right. The problem with it is they have seen a huge amount of people actually support this thing. And we called it last year. You and I both called it when they were discussing the shot and discussing what they were doing with the development of it. I said, pretty much you can be certain. Majority of the people you see walking around with a mask strapped on their face, especially the ones that are like walking outside with their shopping cart, pushing in their car, and they still have their mask on, or the ones driving, you can pretty much bet your lucky dollar they're going to get the shot. You know, I know some people, they've had to go in like a hospital or a nursing home, and they're basically forced to wear it if they can't. If they don't, they can't, you know, get medical attention. They can't see a loved one. And few people I know, they've had to deal with some of that. And I understand that, so especially in an emergency situation. But the individuals that, you know, you still currently see right now, like I told Lana, I went to the movies with her a couple weeks ago. You know, the movies are open down here in Florida, Cinemark. I mean, they're wide open. And so we go in the movie theater, and there's a couple sitting towards the front. And this dude is sitting there, and he has a big, big mask on, covering the whole face up. Can't even see him through his nose eyes. Sitting there. Now, granted, it's me and Lana, and them two. Entire movie theater. Empty. She doesn't have a mask on. Not joking. He's sitting there, and he looked fairly healthy. He didn't look like he was sick or diseased or skinny or anything. So I'm assuming that he was probably a moderately healthy individual. She looked the same, fairly fit. She didn't have a mask on. He had a mask on. I went down to go to the bathroom halfway through the movie. He still had his mask on the entire movie. The movie's over. We go out into the parking lot. We're walking out. The movie theater's closing up. He has his mask on. She does not. He never took it off. And it was one of the most bizarre sightings to me. And I heard something when I was in New Smyrna Beach a couple weeks ago. I was sitting at a table and I overheard a conversation. And this girl was talking about the mask, which is obviously a topic. And she goes, well, you know what? I feel much safer when I wear it. So I just try to wear it all the time because I feel safer with it on. And so this goes back to the delusional psychosis of what we talked about. It says on the box, they do not protect you from any virus whatsoever. There's never been any research to conclude they'd stop or protect you from any virus whatsoever. But yet people have been so brainwashed into believing that's their security blanket now, they have to do it. They're doing the same thing with the vaccine now. They're making everybody think, listen, this thing's good for you. If you get your shot, you're going to be perfectly safe. You're going to be able to go out in public. You're going to be able to go to the movies and restaurants. And you know what? You can actually hang out with some people that have had the shot too, and you don't have to wear a mask. Like the CDC came out the other day. I said, oh, that's so generous of the CDC. That's so nice of them. So if I get a shot and you get a shot, Doug, the CDC is giving us permission that me and you can hang out by ourselves, and we don't have to wear a mask. They gave us permission, by the way, for that. So I want to let you know, if you come down here, if we both get our shot, we don't have to wear a mask around each other. Isn't that so generous of them? It's just, oh, it's so nice when they give the peasants freedom. Oh,
you know, that's not going to happen. Okay.
No, as I'm being sarcastic, but going back to your question, yeah, they're going to keep pushing us. The reason why IBM's partnering with this vaccine passport, the reason why they're opening up airplanes and saying, hey, you know what, if you get your shot, you can get this express thing now, and you can transfer back and forth to countries. They're getting it all set up for the COVID passport. The COVID passport with the vaccine is not the end game. You and I both know what the end game is. The end game is the microchip in your wrist that basically they can monitor, control, dictate everything. Because this platform, this is what they're doing now. They're getting the infrastructure in place with the 5G, now rolling into 6G at the end of this decade,
yep,
with the restrictions, with the vaccine compliance. It's all getting ready to come to that head to where you go, listen, we have to get something now. We have a chip. They've already discussed this technology. It's already out. They can implant a chip into you, and it can detect if you get sick, if you get a virus, if you've taken your medication. And it's an RFID frequency chip, and it transmits back. They originally started doing this with patients that were not basically taking their medications like they were supposed to. So they could test in their body, the chip would basically detect whether or not they took their medication. That's where this is going to go next. That's where it's going to finally go. They're going to say, listen, you got to get this chip. If you get it, that's your COVID pass or whatever they want to call it then. You can fly. You can travel. Everything's back to normal. All you have to do is get a chip. It's super easy because you wonder when you read Revelations. And it talks about no man will be able to buy or sell without having the mark of the beast, I'm paraphrasing basically. Well, you think about it and you go, why are people going to get a mark? I mean, you really want to get a chip on your hand or forehead that says 666? I mean, when I was younger, I was like, that's idiotic. Nobody's going to do that. Well, yeah, now we see how the road goes and what they're paving it for, and we see the end of the road, and we see where it ends, but yet so many people are refusing to acknowledge it, and they're just compromising their convictions one little bit at a time, slowly eroding their freedoms and rights, all because they're scared. Because they were told to be scared, Doug.
All right. There's been much talk about the COVID vaccination cards, proof of vaccination, the cards. Check this out. I think I sprung this on Eric Tech. I don't know. Do you have that graphic, Eric? This is on eBay. Okay. Now, take a look at this. This is a CDC blank COVID-19 vaccination card. Obviously, it's forged. But you can see one sold in the last hour when this capture was taken. It's $15, free shipping. Oh, man, you know. It's a counterfeit CDC card, basically. Blank. It's counterfeit. It's, you know, it's talk about peeing away $15. But, all right. So, I got to thinking, when you look at that card and you think, okay, well, do you think that maybe, just maybe, what you just said about having to have an implant, well, you know, the CDC and the government says, boy, you know, there's such a rash of counterfeit cards out there.
Yep.
So, I mean, this tells me a couple of things, this card. Number one, there's this willingness to be civilly disobedient or disobedient in a civil manner, which I don't think is going to work. And that tells me another thing, that this will give the powers the moral authority in their eyes, not in ours, but theirs. Hey, we have to, you know, make sure and to avoid, for the greater good, we've got to make sure that, you know, you're not carrying a counterfeit card. So, yeah, here. Just take this chip or take this monitoring device or take this tattoo, nanotechnology stuff. Now that's so okay. That's, I just wanted to, but I don't know. Are you aware of that? I mean, that's just amazing for me to see that people are actually buying
it. Yeah, that's surprising. Well, and that's why, you know, going back to my previous article where I discussed with IBM, that's why they said they are going to have a vaccine administration in real time through various blockchain artificial intelligence cloud service to basically have up to date by the minute of when you got your shot. Well, the reason why is they know people are going to forge this. They know people are going to basically go to black market. They're going to say, okay, here's my COVID pass now. I'm not going to comply, but this is my pass. Leave me alone. Let me be in peace. And it may work for a little bit. Like you said, the cards may work. The digital ones may be forged for a while, but that's exactly where it's going to go. There's a reason why they're so apt right now to take away firearms. There's a reason why the House just passed both those bills yesterday. Mandatory background checks between any gun sales. Now, if I sell you a gun and we don't register it through a dealer and do a background check, we both get charged with felonies. And then the other one that I loved is that the FBI now can hold a background check transaction for up to 10 days, meaning, does the word infringement mean anything? And then, of course, Dianne Feinstein, hours after those bills got passed yesterday, she reintroduces her full-blown totalitarian assault weapons ban, the thing she is so proud of, basically outlaws any firearms that are legitimate, outlaws any magazines that are over 10 rounds. I mean, it's lunacy. But we know where this is going. Then you have to ask yourself the next question. The Second Amendment's a very real thing in the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Why are they so bent on trying to take away firearms? A lot of people ask that question. Nobody really asks the real question. Why? Why are they? We know they hate them. Well, because why? If somebody wants to take your firearms away from you, they don't want you to have firearms. It's because they're planning on doing something to you that you would shoot them for later on in the future. And they don't want you to be armed, and they don't want you to have the ability to say no. That is why they want to take everybody's weapons. It has nothing to do with childhood gun violence or school shootings or safety. It's complete opposite of that. And that's why it's so important you understand who your sheriffs are and your governors are and what states you're in. Because I can tell you right now, if we were any type of showing last year from Florida on what we do and what we will and won't do, Florida is like one of the most non-compliant states. We're just non-compliant down here. We don't listen to anybody. Yeah, it's a good and a bad thing, I guess. I don't think Florida's going to put up with this crap. I think there's way too many rednecks down here in Florida. Same thing with Georgia. Same thing with Texas. So if they start trying to make these laws federal, I think people are just going to ignore them. But the issue with it is, what happens in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, when my generation starts getting older and they put so much propaganda in the school system that every child in the school system basically believes guns are bad, guns are bad, guns are bad. Snitch on your parents if they have a gun. Turn your parents in if they have a gun. Yep. Tell us what your parents have. Then it's going to go, okay, then we have the red flag gun laws that went put into place in almost every state now in the country. Then those start being used against law-abiding citizens because, oh, you didn't register that handgun, sir. You remember that? You remember that law that Biden signed 10 years ago? Yeah, you're supposed to register that. That's an unregistered firearm. That's a 10-year felony. You got caught with it. I didn't get caught with it. You kicked in my door because you said my neighbor got mad at me because I threatened him. And now you're putting me in jail for a felony weapons charge because you kicked in my door and took my gun? Well, yeah, that's where it goes. And so a lot of people just think these gun laws are going to be like, oh, you know what? I lost my guns in a boating accident. I mean, you hear that excuse all the time. The truth about it is, we don't have the luxury of saying, oh, I don't have my guns.
And that's not going to fly.
Not going to fly. It's going to have to be absolutely not. If you even want to know what I have in my arsenal, come figure out how to take them from me. And every single red-blooded patriot American is going to have to stand their ground on that. There is no more compromising on this because you see what they did to us while we were armed.
That's right.
Think about what they're going to do to us if they were able to disarm us. Look at UK. Look at Australia. Look at New Zealand. Look at China. Look at every other country that's been disarmed. Look how unbelievably insane the restrictions were. I mean, I saw a video the other day. There's a lady sitting on a bench, went and got a cup of coffee. UK police come up to her, start harassing her. Where are you coming from? She goes, oh, here's my address. Here's my, you know, my driver's license. Here's my information. They go, nah. You're over 2 kilometers away from your house. You know you're not allowed to be past your house out past 2 kilometers. We're citing you. You're citing me? I came out to get coffee. Nobody's here. Everybody's gone. You passed 2 kilometers from your home. I'm sorry. You're getting cited now. I mean, really? That's supposed to be okay to anybody? You have law enforcement going around and ticketing people because you are X amount of miles away from your house? They did the same thing in Australia. They go in and say you can't go past, I think, 5 kilometers outside away from your house. I mean, obviously there's no scientific evidence or any peer-reviewed journals that supports that theory that if you limit somebody's travel around their hometown, somehow a virus doesn't spread anymore. It's idiotic. It doesn't even make sense. Same thing, you know, with the curfew. At 10 o'clock, guys, it's curfew. 10 o'clock. Because, you know, at 10:01, COVID comes out. Comes out. It's going to get you at 10:01. You better be in the house at 9:59. Lock the doors. Same thing with the restaurants. You better wear your mask while you sit in your chair. You sit in your chair. When you get in your chair, you can take your mask off. Nobody in the restaurant is wearing a mask in the entire room at the table. When they get up, they put their mask on and walk 10 feet to the front door. If this isn't full-blown compliance training, I don't know what the heck it is, Doug.
Well, I guess I'm looking at both a timeline and events. Okay, so if you have two parallel lines, folks, the two parallel lines are on a piece of paper, and then think, I suppose, you can list the events on one line and the time, whether it be measured in weeks or months or even years. My question, though, is what event and when is going to be the trigger for whatever happens next? And I think whatever happens next, like I was saying in the first hour, if it happens to be, you know, confiscation of weapons, and that's what really this whole, these three gun bills are about. It's not about, I mean, it's the ultimate objective here is confiscation. Let's not kid ourselves. Maybe that's the hill that many will choose to die on. And by the way, I said in the first hour, if you're coming out to take weapons, you know, I hope that you don't have a family because there's going to be some bloodshed. But I guess I'm asking you, is there a singular event or do you think all of these are going to happen? Because again, I'm watching H.R. 1446 and H.R. 8 and Feinstein bill. I'm watching what
H.R. 127 hadn't even hit yet.
Right.
They've got to vote on that one still. That's that crazy one as well. It's like Feinstein on, but on steroids. Exactly. You gotta get a psyche valve.
Yeah.
Which a firearm?
And I apologize for not mentioning that as well. H.R. 127, but okay. I guess looking at the and also factoring in, and I mentioned this again the first hour, factoring in the Derek Chauvin, the George Floyd trial, the police officer who allegedly or is charged with murdering George Floyd when that didn't happen. What event or series of events do you think is going to really kick this thing, make this go kinetic, make it go hot, everything go hot? If you had to, I mean, any
I think what we're going to see is almost a incident like 9/11, not necessarily the context of the plane and the tower. Take that out of it. But remember on 9/11, it was mental overload. You know, you had one tower get hit, then the other tower get hit. Then basically a surfaced air missile hit the Pentagon. They said it was a plane. It was not a plane. You can watch the video footage. They've scrubbed off YouTube now. And then we had the other plane that allegedly crash landed out in the field. And it was like one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. Then the doggone towers fell. Then Building 7 was demoed and dropped. And all these things, it was a full-blown shell shock. The entire American country was like, whoa. You know, planes were completely grounded. There went not a single airplane in the entire country flying. Everything was grounded. Everything stopped. The United States stopped for a couple days. We did not move. Everything stopped. And the only way to get people really under control, especially where it's teetering now, because we're in that phase to where they've got a grip on a lot of people, but then there's a whole other group of people that are saying, no, not buying it. And more people are waking up and joining that group. And so what I think we're going to see is a multitude of events happen very, very quickly. Probably something along the lines of a massive shooting again. I hate speaking that because I don't want that to ever happen. So don't mix my words with this. It's not something I want. But they're going to have to use a shooting in order to solidify these gun bills. These two gun bills they passed in the House are never going to get to the Senate, in my opinion. I don't think they'll get through. I think there's still going to be a few senators, even on the Dem side, that are going to say, dude, this is not, you know, I don't know. That's my assumption. I could be wrong. But if all of a sudden we have another Sandy Hook situation, or we have another Parkland shooting situation, or any incident like that, and they come back and say, listen, we just got over COVID. We just opened the schools up for the kids to go back. Now everybody's terrified to go back to school because this shooting, we have to get these weapons of war off the street. And they ram through just like they did the Patriot Act. But the Patriot Act had been pre-written years ago. That thing was so big and so thick. And all of a sudden 9/11 hit and it was like, oh, by the way, the Patriot Act, here you go. You know, it was insane how fast that was ready to go. I think that's what we're going to see here. And on top of that, you're probably going to have situations where a natural disaster, whether it be real or induced by weather warfare, if anybody remembers, a lot of people have a short memory span, but when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, most people don't remember that the National Guard came in with other military and they started going house to house and seizing weapons. The mayor of New Orleans is on television, on record, saying, no, nobody is going to be allowed to have any guns. They ask him point blank, and he says that. And they went to houses. They took people's guns.
High and dry houses. Unaffected.
I know. A lot of people don't – they choose to forget that part of our history 16, 17 years ago. And when I tell people that, some people don't even realize. They're like, what? They did that? And I'm like, dude, you watch the video of it. I mean, they were very open. It wasn't even something they tried to hide. They were very clear-cut about it. And they said, listen, this is a temporary measure. We're only doing this for your safety. We're here to help you. We have to take your firearms. We're going to give you a receipt. Log everything, serialize it. You come back. When the emergency situation's over, you can get your guns. Well, if you read the reports, thousands of guns disappear. There were guns people never got back, ever. People tried to go get their guns, and then they were saying they had to pay fees to get their guns. Like, fees? I was in my house perfectly protected. You came and took all my crap. Now I got to pay you to have my guns back? I didn't even do anything wrong? It was a nightmare. And so when people start saying, oh, they're not going to go for the guns, they're not going to go for the guns, they did it. They did it in New Orleans on a very small scale.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people, when they talk about New Orleans, talk about the gun confiscation, the literal gun confiscation, because you can see the video clips on YouTube and other places. They don't talk about the rest of the story, what you just said, and that's, you know, get them back, you got to pay a fee, or you never get them back because
– a bunch of them got lost.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. I remember there was an article, I wish I could find it, it was years ago, and it was like kind of like an independent journalist. It was back when there were actually a few journalists left in the world, in the country, that were free thinkers. And they were going to these people's places, and they were interviewing them. They're like, dude, I can't find my weapon. They don't know where my guns are. They lost my guns. They have so many of them, they didn't know what to do with them. So best believe when they go to take your weapons, you will never see them again, ever. That's why you don't give up your weapons, because it doesn't matter what they tell you. They're lying. They always lie. That's what they do. I remember when I've had experiences before dealing with ATF agents, and they're sitting there straight up trying to make you say something and trip you up just so they can call you out on it. My buddy, who's a sheriff officer, he said it is within all law enforcement policy that they have a obligation, if they need to lie in order to further the investigation. They have no obligation to tell the truth, no requirement.
Wait a second. You have to tell the truth. Say what? Say that again. I mean, did I hear you right?
If a law enforcement officer is trying to further an investigation, it is within their rights and in their realm to lie or deceive the individual in order to further the investigation. Meaning, if they say, well, I just want to let you know, we already pulled you, buddy. We already arrested him.
Oh, okay, okay.
He told us. He told us you did it. They didn't pull anybody. They didn't arrest anybody. Right. They don't have anybody. They can lie to you all they want. There is no requirement. The problem with it is once that line is opened up and you say, well, you can do this, then at that point in time, there's no accountability. They can do whatever they want to do. And we see that in a lot of cases. And I'm not saying all law enforcement does that. I'm saying a lot of these really corrupt federal agents, they're much worse. When you're talking about DEA and ATF and all those clowns, dude, you read some of the stories about what ATF's been involved in, some of the stuff they've done, and they've had places that they've rented out while they're doing sting operations. They completely and totally trash the place out, skip out on rent, leave stuff behind. They're just horrible, horrible individuals to deal with, and they do nothing legitimate. Nothing. They're not within the realms of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights at all. I didn't see excerpt A under Second Amendment, shall not be infringed unless it's a federal ATF officer, then they can infringe a little bit.
I actually saw that, what you describe. I saw that take place. I was behind the glass, of course, but I saw that take place on the federal level one time back in the 90s. Okay. And by the way, DEA in my view is another, agency that needs to go.
Aside
from that, now the border, the stuff that's going on in the border too, at the border too, I think this is all being timed for this massive.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's what I was alluding to before I rabbit trailed. They're going to have all these different things. I mean, there's a reason why they're seeing a border crossing increase. Literally, it's going exponential right now. they can't even keep up with it. They're, I mean, the border control cannot keep up with anything. Governor Abbott's now called in the National Guard to help out with the southern border issue because, you know, when Biden got on TV and he basically is like, we're going to reverse all this and it's not a big deal. If anybody wants to come here, they can come here. And what's ironic, this is the crazy part. And one of the reporters brought this up the other day and he said, why is it that if an individual wants to go travel, he's got to wear a mask, show he's tested negative, get the vaccine, what they're now demanding. But if somebody comes across the border, they don't even put a temperature gun on them, much less give them a COVID test or tell them to get a vaccine. They just put them in, transport them to basically housing, and then a lot of times they give them a notice to appear. It's a couple years out. They put them on a bus. They send them to the United States. They do it all the time. He's like, why is it that if American wants to travel, he has to meet all these requirements to travel safely, but when illegal aliens come in here, they're not even asking them any questions about symptoms or even taking their temperature? Is a little bit of a disconnect with that? Yeah, there is. It's because obviously they're trying to increase as many people as they can here. Not to mention, we've already covered this years ago, but increased levels of TB and all kinds of other contagious diseases is through the roof with a lot of those individuals. And it's not just their fault. It's just because a lot of the healthcare standards down there in the third world countries is poor. So when they come here, all of a sudden now we got an introduction of all these other things that are going on, including the southern border, including them coming after the guns, including restrictions with all this COVID stuff, and so that's basically the long answer to your short question is that's what I think is going to occur. I think a bunch of stuff is basically brewing right now, and it's a powder keg, and they're waiting for the right specific time to just unload a barrage of different events. Because remember, it doesn't matter what happens. All that matters is what the media tells us what happens. I always tell people that. When you start doing your own research, you find out real quick the majority of the stuff you hear about didn't happen the way it happened. I remember with that the gay nightclub pulse shooting in Orlando, that happened years ago. Dad and I brought this up repeatedly. You know, they said on the news, the guy basically got a huge shootout with cops when he was there, and he ran inside and started shooting everybody inside. And we drove over there. We drove all the way over there and, you know, looked at the fence. They had, you know, tape off everywhere and hazmat there. And there was not a single bullet hole outside of the building anywhere. Not in a fence, not in concrete, not anything. Nothing at all anywhere. And I'm like, well, maybe they just didn't know what they were talking about. And I went back and looked at it again. No, sure enough, that was like the story they had. This guy's big gunfight. And then all of a sudden, the narrative changed. And then it was, well, a security guard saw him, and then he went inside, and then he started shooting, and then he went in the back, and then the whole story constantly changed. So it goes to just what I said. It doesn't matter what actually happened. All that matters is what they tell us happened, and then they tell us what to believe and what to think about it. Over and over and over again, they reiterate that. You saw that with Sandy Hook. You saw that with Pulse. You saw that with Parkland. I mean, Parkland was so horrific because you had a doggone sheriff told the SWAT team to stand down, wouldn't let him go in. That was the most bizarre incident I've ever seen in my life. Yes. To the point where Ron DeSantis, our governor, basically unseated him. He said this was a derelict of your duty, whether you did this intentionally or this was accidental. Either way, this is complete and total negligence on your part. This cannot be allowed. You cannot be a sheriff in this county.
That was Sheriff Israel.
Sheriff Israel.
And he was pictured quite frequently with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, or I should say that picture frequently made its rounds. And there's a whole history there with Wasserman Schultz. That doesn't sit well with me. And that includes the Awan brothers and laptops and some really strange stuff. So you're okay. So what you're seeing, and just so I think I understand what you're saying here is, so all of these events are taking place. There will be some sort of catastrophic event, most likely manufactured catastrophic event, false flag, I guess we could call that, along with perhaps some natural disaster or in addition to or concurrent with, I don't know. But all of this combined, and especially with all of the elements that we're seeing come into play here, which is why I like to look at things from a higher level, a higher altitude, so I can see the playing field here. this is going to cause some sort of event, or these events will cause some sort of will be the tripwire to whatever might happen next, and whatever could happen next could very well be a massive oppressive kind of operation against the people, and then of course the pushback.
It'll be well orchestrated when they do it. Remember, like I talked about last week on the show, you know, because I talked to a couple of my law enforcement friends trying to figure out the same thing, and we talked about it. Why in the world are they basically keeping the National Guard in D.C. indefinitely? Why do they have permanent fencing with razor wire on the Capitol building? This is unheard of, never done before. And we pretty much concluded from what we've gathered with, you know, intel, is that they know there's going to be some serious backlash over something, whatever it is. There's going to be some serious backlash in the next coming months. And they absolutely are terrified of what the populace is capable of doing. And I think that's really the main reason, because when you look at this whole thing as a whole, it makes no sense to do that unless you know what's happening. You know something big's about to happen. This is why I've encouraged so many people, man, stay prepped. Look what happened to, you know, Texas a couple weeks ago with that snowstorm. It's absolutely required. If you're an American patriot, if you are a firm believer of the Bill of Rights, you have to be self-sufficient. That is the only way we're going to be able to stand our ground on this. And that means being in shape, exercising. And I don't necessarily mean you don't have to be a meathead in the gym 10 hours a day, but being able to actually do something if you need to do something to defend yourself, having proper food supplies that you're not reliant on the just-in-time inventory service of the supermarkets. If something goes sideways, you don't have to run in there with the chaotic mess that it always is during a natural disaster, whatever event, and fight people over cans of food. You sit back, you get your supplies gathered, you get your gear together, you assess the situation, you talk to your neighborhood areas, you talk to everybody, you get your comms ready, you go, okay, this is where we're ready, this is what we trained for, this is what we're going to do, this is why we prep. And you're good to go. There's no chaos. And so if people start having, you know, some stored water, some stored food buckets, or even like I told people, if they don't want organic food buckets, go buy some beans and rice and store them properly and have the defensive measures you need. You know, have a good couple weapons that you know how to train with. You don't have to have a whole arsenal.
And I was going to ask you about that. I didn't mean to interrupt. Two questions I have. The first is a simple one. Your supply of food buckets, which are fantastic. The food, by the way, folks, look, this is like eating normal, regular food. Once you reconstitute it, heat it up, it's your supply. How's your supply of food buckets?
Oh, good. We just got another pallet in. We keep pushing the manufacturer constantly to keep us basically on a steady stream of it. I have a ton of people locally now, which has been great, locally that have been coming in, and they just, you know, they say, hey, man, I'm going to come in and buy a bucket a month. You know, I budget it in. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm like, okay, dude, come and get it. It helps me anyways. I don't have to ship it, you know, as we do free shipping on them. But when they're local and around the Central Florida area, I'm like, dude, come by, chat. You know, I love talking to customers and listeners when they come in. And, We're staying stocked up on that regularly. Ruben, who handles all my inventory control, we've been consistently counting buckets, checking inventory, making sure we have food on deck. And, you know, we also give the bulk orders too. So if you have like a 2-bucket special, a 4-bucket special, it gets a discount on them. We ship them all together. So yes, we're doing solid on them. We've got inventory under control now on those.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. And the second question is, you had mentioned about weapons, being able to defend yourself, of course, having weapons. Given the bills that are facing, or that we're staring at, you know, the H.R. 127, H.R. 8, H.R. 1446, Feinstein's madness, what would you recommend the average person have in their home? I ask this question because I've gotten asked that question, and I don't know how to answer that.
I always look at it. Three tier is usually what I. If you're on a budget, say you're on a tight budget and you're trying to figure out, you know, your weapons platform. From my background and from all my friends that I've grown up with, that have, you know, deployed in military background, I always recommend that, you know, three tier. You need your solid rifle, whether it be, you know, a 5.56 caliber, 308. That's your preference. I'm not gonna have it. You know, that's a debate for a whole other day. You know, what type of, if you want an AR-10, you want an AR-15, the reason why I like those so much is not because, you know, oh, they're the cool rifle. It's because parts are so readily available. If you need something, if you break something, they make great quality weapons now all over the place. You can get stuff for a decent price. If you need to fix it, have extra parts, which I always recommend. They're easy to get a hold of. And you got to think about ammunition supply. If you start going with these crazy rounds, like you want like a 6.8 Creedmoor, you want some exotic bullet, try getting that ammunition in a pinch. You're never going to find it. So what I always recommend is, you know, whatever your local sheriff, your local law enforcement, kind of match off their calibers. You know, the police department, sheriff's department here in Polk County always has ARs in their vehicle. So to me, a 5.56 it's a no-brainer. Same thing with handguns. You know, have a good carry handgun that you can use as a battle pistol if you're on a budget. You know, I like a carry handgun and I like a battle pistol. Glock 34 is my main battle pistol. Glock 43 is my main carry gun, and both 9mm. I like the capacity. I like being able to have large magazines and carry large amounts of ammo if you need it. And then the third tier is 12-gauge, which is absolute the best for home defense. You know, whether you're running double aught buck or number four buck, that's great in close quarters because the number four buck isn't going to penetrate sheetrock as bad as double aught buck. So it's good if you have families in the house and you don't want to have over penetration. But a 12-gauge, bar none, you know, it's a one and done. I mean, anybody takes 12-gauge buckshot to the chest, I mean, there's, you know, they're dead on arrival.
I'm a big fan of shotguns, having seen them. I got to ask you this off, this is, I'm just curious, Mossberg or Remington for shotguns?
Me personally, I've always been a Mossberg boy. This debate's always going on in Florida all the time, but Mossberg's just been my go-to since I was 18. And I absolutely loved it when Mossberg came out with the Shockwave, the short barrel 12 gauge that they basically tied ATF's hands with because ATF couldn't say no to it. It's a 14 inch short barrel. As soon as they bought it, I was like, dude, I'll take two. You know, I did it just to support Mossberg even more. It's a great truck gun. I keep one in my truck at all times, you know, and it's a closed up case. Really cool shotgun. Some people are like, oh, it's a novelty. I'm like, dude, listen, if you're in close quarters and you pull out a short barrel 12 gauge, everybody knows it's time to do business. There's no play anymore.
That's the one without the star, with the, I don't want to say pistol grip, but the, small
burger grip handle. Yeah. It takes a little bit of the recoil, a little bit of sting out of the wrist on a 12 gauge. I've shot it numerous times and it's fairly comfortable. I mean, you have to manhandle a little bit, but as far as for a backpack shotgun or, you know, a backup, you know, close quarter shotgun, it's really cool. Obviously, you know, yes, something like a Mossberg 930 semi-auto or just a Mossberg 500 pump. That's always a good standard to have in the house. If you don't, you know, if you just want to have one shotgun.
In the magazines, you know, the other thing good about that is you can buy magazines for shotguns and I like that fact. So, okay, that's good because again, people ask, well, you know, it's getting down to the wire. So I would recommend too, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're concerned about availability, get yourself out, go get some magazines for your weapons.
Yes, that's the next thing I was about to say. If you own a firearm, if you own an AR, if you own a pistol, I can tell you right now, one thing is definitely for sure that they're going to eventually get through, and that's going to be a mag ban.
Yep.
They've tried this repeatedly. They've done it in numerous states, and that's why I know they're going to try to hit it on a federal, you know, New York, Illinois, Connecticut, California, just name a couple off the list. They've implemented these. And so my opinion is if you got an AR, you have at least minimum 10 magazines with it. I mean, that should be your warm-up session is 10 magazines. Same thing with a pistol. 10 magazines. You know, that, like I said, that is warm-up. Anything past that, that's better. But these magazines, and we saw this with Sandy Hook, when Obama came in and started talking about banning high-capacity mags, or I can't stand it when I say that term, standard-capacity magazines, which are 30-round magazines for an AR-15. They're not high-capacity. That is standard-capacity in AR-15s. But the doggone Dems have gone in and coined that phrase now, high-capacity. It's a standard cap mag, 30 rounds. Those things went from $10, $11 a mag, which that's about what you can buy them for now, upwards of $50 to $60 a mag during Sandy Hook because everybody was confident they were going to put a mag ban in. Right now, if you can still get PMAGs for $10, $11 a piece, buy them. Not only are they great backups and they feed your weapon, because remember, an AR-15 with no magazines is basically a baseball bat or a bayonet. Yeah. That's really what it is. I mean, you know, you could single load one thing in the bullet. I mean, that's, come on. That's stupid. So, I mean, magazines are key with those weapons. And if anything has shown us with the past history with these lunatics, they're going to try to go after the mag. So I always recommend stockpile those things. Worst case scenario, if you need to liquidate cash in the future, you'll probably make money on them. They've done nothing but gone up and down. So if you buy them low, dude, you're good to go.
I totally agree with you on this. Now we've got about, let me see here, about 4.5 minutes left. So this hour's got really flown by. Healthmasters.com, folks, please go there. And I gotta say this as well. If you haven't tuned in to the radio show, the premier father son radio show on the internet, Healthmasters, Ted and Austin Brower show. That's Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 PM and Sundays, 7 to 8 Eastern time, the real time. Great show. The information download. You guys cover so much, by the way. It's a required listen. We only have so much time to listen during the day. So the way you guys cover information topics and headlines and such, I love it. So folks, please become a listener. And, I gotta say this as well. If you're not taking care of yourself right now, especially right now, then you're headed for trouble. So go to Healthmasters and load up on the nutritional supplements there. Doug5 is the coupon code for orders right through, I think, what, Monday morning?
Yeah, well, we'll run them through Tuesday.
Okay, all right,
Tuesday.
Good.
Well, I'll run it because, like I said, I know a few people couldn't get stuff to go through last week, and I apologize for that. We made sure, I had my IT guy make sure there was no bugs in it. So it's ready to go now. And, yeah, now more than ever, Doug, you're absolutely right. It's time to make sure you're in shape the best you can. I mean, today I just started a 7-day cleanse we have on the website. I haven't done one in years. I'm doing one starting today. I haven't eaten all day. This is a rarity for me. I eat a copious amount of foods. I train a lot. But I'm taking off working out for the week. I'm going to do this fast for 7 days. I'm going to basically just cleanse out my body, start back fresh. I always feel better. I have more energy and I'm stronger in the gym after these. But it's rough, to be honest with you. I've had some apple juice earlier. So it's going to be a fun week. So next Friday, I should be done with it at the very end. So you're probably going to see me down about 5 to 10 pounds by next week, which is not something I like, but I'll bounce back fast.
I love it. I love it. Good advice. In the remaining 2 minutes, anything else that we didn't cover that you want to impart to the viewers and listeners of this show?
I just want to encourage everybody. You're not alone in this. We all feel the same way. We're doing these shows. We're researching every day. We're out and about. We're talking to people. We're doing everything we can to try to encourage people to say, hey, listen, you don't have to consent. It's okay to say no. For some reason now, the last year, people have gotten this mindset where you have to say okay to everything. You walk in the store, somebody says, do you need a mask? No, thank you. No. You need to put one on. No, no, thank you. I'm okay. I'm healthy. I'm very healthy. I don't need a mask. And, you know, the more people start doing this with everything, that's just the mask is one thing, but with everything, we start saying, no, no, thank you. I'm not going to do that. No, thank you. I'm not going to teach my children about transgender ideology at 5 years old. No, thank you. You're not alone. Stand your ground on this. If you have a conviction, if you have something you believe in, and you really should, hold to it. If that's what you truly believe, don't falter on it. Don't back off of it. Stand your ground on it. I encourage everybody to do that. And we're all here to just support everybody the best we can. And I appreciate the support of our show, of the Hagmans, and just continue to support small local businesses, online local businesses, you know, small businesses. Take care of the small companies in the United States right now, because we always have been the main backbone, and they're doing everything they can to wipe us out, because they want it to go to a full-blown control grid of, you know, Amazon, Walmart, Costco. That's it. Nobody else basically does anything except work for them and be good peasants. That's not a world that I'm going to choose to live in, and nor am I going to consent or say yes to that. So keep up the fight. Stay strong. We're all in this, and we're working through it, Doug, the best we can.
Brilliant words of wisdom, sage advice, and I appreciate your time. My friend, thank you so very much. Have a great weekend. Tell your family we said hello. God bless you, and appreciate you. All right. Folks, that'll do it. It's the weekend. Watch HagmanReport.com. I've got some things that I've been holding off. I want to put on HagmanReport.com. Check it tomorrow, especially. Tell others about today's program. Share and subscribe on Rumble. Good night.